Somehow, the old and new blended together beautifully. Wow, this is amazing. I looked up at the soaring ceilings and all the tile work on the walls. There was an island with copper pots and pans hanging from a rack above it. Chase grabbed a pan and started taking things out of the refrigerator. Without looking at me, he spoke.
Paul McCartney or Dave Grohl?
He wanted to know what version I'd had in my head as I played Blackbird. Paul McCartney, always.
Big Beatles fan?
No, actually, but my brother is. He knows every word to every song. Chase finally turned around. His face had softened.
Your brother who's deaf?
Only one I have.
Do you play often?
It's been years since I played. I'm kind of shocked I remembered the chords. My fingers just started playing it, probably because I played it about 10,000 times when we were kids. I only know 4 songs. Blackbird was Owen's favorite before he lost his hearing. I learned to play it for him after he'd completely lost all audio reception. He would hold the guitar and feel the vibrations and sing along.
That's cool.
Yeah. Oddly enough, music was a big bond between us growing up. We used to play this game where I would hum songs, and he would touch my face and try to guess the song from the vibration. He was really good at it. I mean, really good at it. I only had to hum a few bars and he would know the song. Over the years, it became our little secret language, a way of communicating what I was thinking to him without anyone knowing. Like, sometimes, we would go to our Aunt Sophie's house, and she would sneak and pour gin into a coffee mug. She thought none of us knew, but after her 3rd cup of caffeine, she would start to slur a bit. So, when she called our house, I'd answer, give our mom the phone, and then hum Pink Floyd's Comfortably Numb. Owen would hold my face for 2 seconds, and then guess who was on the phone. Chase laughed.
That's great.
Except I often still do it, and I don't even realize. I'll be in the middle of something and notice I'm humming a song that expresses my thoughts.
Well, hopefully you won't be humming Johnny Paycheck anytime soon.
Johnny Paycheck?
Sings, "Take This Job and Shove It." I think I'd rather hear some Marvin Gaye coming from those lips.
Let me guess. Let's Get It On.
You know you'll be humming it too, huh?
You have a 1-track mind. He looked at me, funny, seeming almost perplexed at his own answer.
Lately, I think you're right. Got this Spitfire on my mind all the time. Her attitude is as fiery as her hair.
I laughed it off like it was a joke. But something told me he was being honest, that he really was thinking about me all the time. Or maybe it was just wishful thinking from my own 1-track mind.
So, how did your brother lose his hearing anyway? You mentioned it was an accident. Was it a sports injury or something?
Well, I never liked telling the story. I figured Chase, of all people, would understand, considering what I'd learned about his girlfriend. I'd pretty much obsessed over what Lindsay had told me the other day. It made me wonder if the past experiences Chase and I shared were some sort of unspoken connection between us. When I was 9 and Owen was 10, there was a string of home break-ins in our neighborhood. Mostly just burglaries, while the homeowners were out. Owen and I were latchkey kids. Our parents went to work before we left for school and came home after us. They also didn't get along, and my dad would frequently take off for a few days at a time, so the house was pretty much empty most days. One Tuesday, we had a half day of school because the teachers were having some sort of a development conference. When we came home early, we walked into our house, being robbed by 2 men.
Shit. I had no idea, Reese. I'm sorry, I shouldn't have assumed.
It's okay. I don't talk about it much, but it's part of who I am. Part of who Owen is, for better or worse. Even though Owen was only 10, he pushed me back out the door and started screaming for help. One of the guys was holding our Xbox and used it like a bat to Owen's head. Fractured the temporal bone and severed a nerve that sent Owen to the hospital with a concussion for a few days and left permanent sensory neural hearing loss.
Jesus Christ. You were just kids.
It could have been worse. At least, that's what Owen's always said. He was still a pretty happy kid, even after he lost his hearing.
And you? Were you hurt at all?
I fell, waiting for the ambulance while I was trying to take care of Owen. Cut my hand on a piece of jagged metal on the broken Xbox. I held up my right hand and showed him the faint, star-shaped scar between my thumb and pointer. Didn't even need a stitch. Healed itself. I laughed. It's funny. Owen bore all the physical injuries, and he walks around pretty much carefree. I, on the other hand, walked away unscathed, yet I'm the one with a half dozen locks on her door and a compulsion for checking the back seat of my car and behind the shower curtain multiple times a day. I'm sort of afraid of my own shadow.
But you look in the back seat instead of not driving?
I wasn't sure what he was getting at. I guess so. Yes?
That's not being afraid. Being afraid is when you let fear control your life, let it stop you from doing what you want. When you're afraid, but you look your fear in the eye and live, that's courageous.
And there it was again. That invisible connection I'd felt to him since the first night we met. I didn't understand it, couldn't explain it or see it, yet I was certain it was there. I just knew he understood me, and it made me want to understand him, too. He couldn't have chosen anything more perfect to say. Thank you for saying that. I don't know why, but it always feels like you know what I need to hear, I scoffed. Even when you told me I was being a bitch in that restaurant hallway, I suppose. Chase stared at me.
Did they catch the guys who did it?
Took a few months, but eventually they did. I think I slept for 24 hours the day after they were arrested. I had taken to sleeping on the floor in Owen's room, and any little sound would wake me.
I'm sorry that happened to you.
Thank you. Talking about that day always made me feel sad, but somehow, today, it felt oddly cathartic. And I was ready to move on to lighter topics. So, you cook, huh?
I have a few tricks up my sleeve.
Let's see what you can do, boss man. Chase turned on the griddle of his big stove and tossed a few slices of whole wheat bread onto the grill. He then took out the strangest combination of things, including pineapple, cream cheese, and a bag of nuts. As he began slicing the pineapple, he smiled and extended a piece to me across the island.
Are you a picky eater?
Not usually. I like to experiment.
So you'll let me feed you whatever I want?
My eyebrows jumped.
I was talking about pineapple cream cheese cashew surprise, but I like the way you're thinking better.
The flirty banter was back. And the awkwardness from the living room seemed to be behind us, though I still felt the need to address it. I looked up at him and spoke softly. I'm sorry about before. For picking up the guitar and helping myself to it. I shouldn't have done that. It looked like it upset you. He looked away briefly.
It's fine. Don't worry about it. It's been collecting dust for years anyway. Someone should play it.
You don't play?
No, I don't.
He offered nothing else, so I left it be. The bizarre sandwiches he made us turned out to be delicious, and we sat in the kitchen talking as we ate. "This house is beautiful," I told him. "I'll admit, I would have guessed you were more of a penthouse-slash-high-rise type than a brownstone guy before today. But seeing this, it fits you."
"Oh, yeah? I'm not really sure what that means. Is it good?"
I smiled. "It is."
"Tell me, does Bryce live in a penthouse or a brownstone?"
"Bryant. And he lives in a regular apartment building, I guess, like me."
"And is that the type of guy you normally go for?"
"My type seems to be more the liars, losers, and leeches. I haven't had the best luck in my love life the last, I don't know, dozen or so years."
"Is that all? Just a dozen years? It's a dry spell. I'm sure it will clear up any day."
I chuckled. "Yeah, I'm sure."
"Tell me about Barclay. Which one is he? Liar, loser, or leech?"
I shook my head. "Bryant isn't any of them." Popping the last piece of the snack Chase had made into my mouth, I figured it was his turn to talk. But he didn't. Instead, he watched me chew and waited for me to continue. "I'm pretty sure he's a genuinely nice guy."
"So why haven't you slept with him yet?"
"I think you have an unhealthy obsession with my sex life. This is like the third time you've asked me about my relationship with Bryant." Chase shrugged.
"I'm curious."
"About my sex life?"
"Or lack thereof, yes."
"Why?"
"I honestly have no fucking clue."
"Well, when was the last time you had sex?" Chase sat back in his seat and folded his arms over his chest.
"Before I met you?"
I had no idea where the conversation was going or what it meant, but every nerve in my body was excited we were having it. "Dry spell?" I asked.
"You could say that,"
he responded. "I could say that? What kind of an answer is that? Is there anything else I could say?" Chase leaned in.
"You could say, I'm waiting for the woman I really want to sleep with to become available so I can make my move."
I swallowed. We sat in silence for a few minutes, just looking at each other. A part of me wanted to pick up the phone and break things off with Bryant right then and there. But the other, more sane part of me, remembered that the beautiful creature sitting across the table was my boss. "Have you ever had an office fling?" I asked, tilting my head. I could see a million questions run through Chase's mind. He wasn't sure how to answer. Smartly, he settled on the truth.
"I have."
"So have I. It didn't work out too well." He held my eyes, not backing down.
"Shame. You know the old saying, if at first you don't succeed, try again."
When his eyes moved from mine down to my mouth, and he licked his lips before they finally returned, I knew it was time to change the subject. Abruptly, I stood. "How about a tour of the house?"
"Absolutely. There's one room in particular I'd like to show you."
Chapter 13. Reese. I was exhilarated after spending the day working. Almost high. It was only me and Josh left sitting on Chase's rooftop deck, and Chase, of course. The other four, including Lindsay, were gone. Josh and I had stayed to have a beer now that work was done. I was sporting a ridiculously large smile. At the risk of sounding like a complete goofball, I need to tell you, today was amazing. I can't remember when I've enjoyed working on anything this much. I'm not sure I ever have. Josh tipped his beer in my direction.
It did feel good. Damn good. But I think you have a lot to do with that, Reese. You being new to the group seemed to bring out something in all of us. Chase, especially.
He shifted his eyes to Chase.
I haven't seen you this fired up in years. Today felt more like a new product launch than a rebranding campaign. Everything seemed new again.
Chase was sitting back in a lounge chair. He wore dark sunglasses, but I could feel his eyes on me nonetheless. Nodding, he said,
It felt right. Been a long time since anything felt so right.
After a few more minutes, Josh guzzled back the rest of his beer.
Gotta head out. Elizabeth is making me go to a cake-tasting party tonight. Since when did everything about weddings turn into a damn event? I've had to go to a food tasting, a band showcase, and a floral presentation party. Vegas is sounding better and better.
Just wait.
Chase stood.
Anna had a bridal shower, a pregnancy announcement party, and a gender reveal party.
You're just getting started, buddy.
What the hell is a gender reveal party?
The parents-to-be give a sealed envelope that contains the sex of the baby to a bakery, and the baker puts pink frosting inside the cupcakes if it's a girl and blue if it's a boy. Then they have a party, and everyone finds out at the same time, including the parents-to-be. Pure fucking torture.
Whatever happened to the kid popping out and the doctor giving it a smack and yelling, it's a boy, over the thing crying?
Thanks. More to look forward to.
Chase slapped Josh on the back as we walked to the stairs.
You're welcome.
Arriving on the first floor, I eyed the mess we'd left in the living room and dining room. Chase had dinner brought in, and there were dishes and balled-up papers from our work session all over the place.
Where are you heading, Reese?
Josh asked.
I'm going to grab a cab downtown, if you want to split one.
I'm crosstown, but I'm going to stay for another minute and help Chase pick up a bit. Josh looked over my shoulder, seeing the mess for the first time.
Crap. Thanks. I owe you one, Reese. See you Monday.
Before Chase even returned from walking Josh out, I had the place halfway cleaned. I picked up the garbage, and I was rinsing dishes and loading them into the dishwasher when I felt Chase come up behind me. He gently placed a hand on my face, and I stopped what I was doing.
Keep going.
At first, I thought he meant to continue loading the dishwasher. Then I realized I'd been humming. Smiling, I continued with my tune. Luckily, he was no Owen. I would have been mortified had he guessed the song I was humming.
Thinking out loud. Ed Sheeran.
Not even close, I laughed.
I don't mind. Usher?
I shook my head. You do realize those two songs sound nothing alike? I finished loading the dishwasher while Chase moved the furniture we'd rearranged back. We glanced up at each other as we worked.
Plans for tonight?
He asked. No. I wasn't sure what time we'd be done. You?
Nope. Want to share another beer with me?
Sure. Why not? He grabbed two Sam Adams bottles from the fridge, and we sat down on the living room couch. Opening one, he took a sip and handed me the bottle, setting the other, unopened one, on the end table next to him. I took the bottle. I didn't realize you meant literally share a beer. I sipped and then offered it back to him. Raising my fingers to my wet lips, my instinct was to wipe away the beer remnants. But then I realized it wasn't just beer on my lips. It was Chase on my lips. His eyes followed the path of my tongue as I instead licked the wet spot off. The way he looked at me sent tingles of arousal through my body, hitting certain places more than others. Desire built as we quietly finished one beer, and then he cracked open the other. I never knew something so innocent could seem so much like foreplay. There goes my theory of getting him out of my system this morning.
We're off the clock now, aren't we?
He passed me the bottle.
Not sure how weekends work. It's technically not a work day, yet we did work today. Still, I'd have to say, even if Saturday counts as part of the work week, we're off the clock by now.
So I'm not your boss right now, then?
Suppose not. I grinned and took a long sip from our beer.
Well, then it wouldn't be inappropriate to tell you that while I was in the shower this morning, I closed my eyes and thought of you as I took care of myself.
I was mid-swallow when what he'd said registered. I choked, sputtering and spraying beer all over the place. Coughing, my voice was hoarse.
You... what?
From your reaction, I'd say you heard me correctly.
He took the beer from my hand.
Why would you tell me that?
Because it's true. And I figured I'd lay all my cards on the table. You're not having sex. I'm not having sex. Thought maybe we could work through our problem together.
I don't have a problem.
So why aren't you having sex, then?
Why aren't you?
Because I'd like to have it with you, and you haven't given in to me. Yet.
He brought the beer to his lips and watched me as he drank.
I can't believe we're having this conversation. You know I'm seeing someone.
I do. That's why we're having this conversation. If you weren't seeing someone, I'd have you up on that kitchen island showing you what I want to do to you rather than telling you.
Is that so?
He moved closer.
It is.
What if I'm not into you that way?
Chase looked down, his eyes lingering on my nipples. My very erect nipples.
Your body says otherwise.
Maybe I'm just cold.
He inched closer.
Is that it? Are you cold, Reese? Because you actually look a little warm. Flushed, even.
You're my boss.
Not now. You just said so yourself.
But even if I wasn't dating Bryce...
Bryant.
Chase corrected me with a smirk.
Oh, my God. Bryant. Even if I wasn't dating Bryant, and even if I was attracted to you...
You are.
Quit interrupting. You're trying to confuse me. Like I was saying, even without Bryant in the picture and me being slightly attracted to you, it still can't happen. I really like this job, and I don't want to screw things up.
What if I fired you?
Probably wouldn't be the best way to get into my pants.
Tell me what is.
I chuckled.
You sound pretty desperate.
Although we'd been teasing, his response was serious.
I feel pretty damn desperate right about now.
So did I. But I wanted him to truly understand where my head was. Can I be honest with you?
I'd be upset if you weren't.
I sort of had an office relationship. Well, it wasn't really a relationship. It was more like a momentary lapse in judgment caused by excessive imbibing in holiday cheer. Anyway, you get the picture.
Yes, unfortunately, I do. You slept with someone from work. Hang on, I should get another beer. I'm taking it this story isn't going to bode well for me.
Chase got up and grabbed two more beers. This time, he opened both and handed me one. I get my own.
Story sounds like you might need it.
I smiled gratefully. Thank you. You're right. I do. Taking a deep breath, I continued. Anyway, I loved my old job. It was pretty much my life for the last 7 years. I worked my way up from intern to director. I dated, but hadn't had a serious relationship for the last 5 years. Make a long story short, I accidentally slept with a coworker.
Accidentally?
Peppermint schnapps martini at the office Christmas party? Don't judge. Chase looked entertained, his eyes sparkling. He held up his hands.
No judgment here. Tough night and you let loose. Been there.
The guy turned out to be a total dirtbag. 2 days later, he announced he'd gotten engaged over Christmas to his longtime girlfriend. He told me he was single.
Sounds like an asshole.
He was. And that's not the worst part. I told him what I thought of him and went out of my way to be an asshole to the jerk. A few months later, he was promoted to being my boss.
Shit.
Yeah. And to make it even worse, he knows nothing about marketing.
How did he get the job?
He's the owner's son. Chase's face was glum, but he nodded.
I get it. I'm not gonna lie and say I'm not disappointed, but I get it.
You do?
Of course. You don't want to screw up your career for a night of physical gratification.
Exactly.
Even though that physical gratification would begin with me starting at your toes and working my way up, slowly, over hours.
Hours? My low voice came out with a high pitch. Chase nodded with a sexy grin.
I'm up for the challenge.
What challenge?
Waiting it out. Or breaking you down, one or the other.
You're going to wait until I don't work here anymore. What if I stay for years?
It won't be years.
I furrowed my brow.
You'll break before then.
Bryant, how was work today? I'd just gotten off the train at my stop when the text came in. I took a deep breath, dreading what I was about to do, but knowing in my heart it was right. Reese. It was good. Very productive, actually. I'm almost home, but could go for a drink. You up to join me for one? Maybe at the Pony Pub. The small bar was quiet and halfway between our apartments. We'd met there for our first date. Bryant. Absolutely. Meet you there in a half hour. Reese. Perfect. See you soon.
Chapter 14. Chase, 7 years ago. Another Jack and Coke? I held my hand up to the bartender. I was usually halfway through my first drink by the time Peyton showed up, but starting on my second one was late, even for her. Picking up my phone, I thumbed off a text. Chase, you're later than your usual late. Peyton, I'll be there in 10 minutes. If I'm not, read this text again. I chuckled. She showed halfway through my second, her arms wrapped around me from behind.
Can I buy you a drink?
Sure. My girlfriend is on her way, but she's late, so I could use some company. She smacked my abs.
Some company, huh?
I reached around, hooked my hand on her waist, and pulled her from behind me to my lap in one fell swoop. She giggled, and any annoyance about her being 45 minutes late was instantly gone. Again. What's your excuse this time?
I had some stuff I needed to take care of.
She looked away when she said it, which told me I needed to pry more. What stuff? She shrugged.
Just some stuff for the shelter.
I squinted. Like unpacking boxes of donated food, or cleaning up the dishes after dinner service.
Yep, just some errands, stuff like that.
She quickly tried to change the subject.
What are you drinking? Is that a Jack and Coke?
Now I knew she was up to something, and I was pretty sure I knew what it was. Yep, Jack and Coke. You want your usual? She hopped down off my lap and pulled up the stool next to me.
Yes, please. How was your day?
After I called the bartender over and ordered her Merlot, I swiveled her chair in my direction. You followed him again tonight, didn't you? Her shoulders deflated, but she didn't even try to lie.
He had a black eye today, and the gash on his head was reopened. He probably should have had stitches the first time. Now it's worse and it looks infected.
I love how much you care. I really do. But you need to let the police do their job. Wrong thing to say.
Do their job? That's the problem. They don't think keeping homeless people safe is part of their job at all. The only time they pay attention to them is if they sit down in a neighborhood that's too nice. Seriously, I wouldn't be surprised if the Upper West Side installed metal spikes up against buildings, like they do on train trestles to keep pigeons from making nests.
I don't want you following homeless people to parks where it's dangerous at night. She huffed.
I only wanted to find out where he was going, so I can go back down to the police station tomorrow and ask them to patrol the area better.
What park did you follow him to?
You know that old bridge they restored uptown? The one people walk across up near 155th Street?
You went all the way up to Washington Heights?
It might look nice from the bridge, but underneath hasn't been cleaned up. I guess the politicians just shook hands and took pictures on the top while underneath it was filled like a junkyard. Did you know there's a whole little city of people under that viaduct?
Peyton, you gotta cut this shit out. I know you want to help, but it's dangerous in those places.
It was still light out, and I didn't actually go into the camp.
Peyton.
Seriously, everything's going to be fine. I'm going to stop in at the precinct closest to the park tomorrow. Hopefully the cops up there remember their job is to serve and protect all the citizens of this city.
Promise me you won't pull shit like this again. She smiled and leaned over to wrap her hand around the back of my neck. Gently grazing her fingers on my skin, she said,
I promise.
Chapter 15. Reese. The office wasn't the same when Chase wasn't there. Sure, I was busy and had enough work to do for a month, work that I loved doing, but the anticipation of seeing him throughout the day was missing. He'd only been gone 2 days on his business trip, but I'd missed him since day one. I was up to my eyeballs in drafting presentations for an eventual focus group, a cross-section of women who we would try out some branding slogans and product packaging mock-ups on, when my phone buzzed late on Thursday. Seeing Chase's name made me smile. Chase, miss me? I did, but he certainly didn't need any encouragement. Reese, did you go somewhere? Chase, cute. Reese, I thought so. Chase, I've been thinking about our little deal. Reese, what deal? I don't recall agreeing to anything. Chase, exactly. Which is why we need a sit-down, to negotiate our terms. The man made caterpillars turn into butterflies that fluttered around in my stomach. I leaned back in my seat and rotated so the back of my chair was facing my open office door. It was late, and there were only a few people still milling around the floor, but I sought privacy as I typed with a smile. Reese, terms? Are we discussing a business deal? I slipped my right shoe off and dangled it from my toe as I watched the three little dots jump around. It was pitiful that I was growing antsy waiting. Chase, is spending time in my bed still off limits because I'm your boss? Reese, it is. Chase, then I want time outside of the bedroom. Reese, I see you at the office all the time. Chase, I want more. My heart did a pathetic pitter-patter. I want more, too. Reese, more how? Chase, I think this requires a face-to-face, sit-down conversation. Reese, like a date? Chase, don't think of it as a date. Think of it as a business meeting where we negotiate terms that lead to full performance of the contract in the future. Reese. And that full performance would be? I nearly fell over in my seat, hearing Chase's voice behind me.
You in my bed, of course.
I whipped my chair around. I thought you were away until tomorrow.
Came back early. Had some pressing business.
How long have you been standing there?
Not long.
He pointed to the window.
But I could see your reflection in the glass, and I liked watching your face as you texted.
Voyeur.
If I can't have, I'm not above watching. Is that an offer?
Chase looked like he hadn't shaved in a day or two. I wondered what that stubble would feel like rubbing against my cheek and against the inside of my thighs. His tie was loose, his suit jacket draped over one arm, and his shirt sleeves were rolled up, revealing muscular forearms. I definitely had a thing for forearms. When I finally pulled my gaze back up to his eyes, he looked pleased at my being flustered.
What did you ask?
I managed. With a knowing grin, he said,
How about dinner? Did you eat yet?
I picked up the protein bar on my desk that I hadn't gotten around to. Not yet. He tilted his head toward the hallway.
Come on, let me buy you some dinner. I can't have my employees working 12 hours a day and starving.
When I didn't immediately agree, he sighed.
It's not a date. We're sharing a meal. Business associates do it all the time.
I pulled my purse out of the drawer and pressed the button to put my laptop to sleep. Okay, but this isn't a date.
Of course not.
All right, then. He winked.
It's a negotiation.
Apparently, I'd decided to take this negotiation thing very seriously because I didn't even wait until we got to the elevator before I started being difficult.
Have you ever been to Gotham in Union Square?
Chase asked. That's a date place. Too romantic. How about Legends in Midtown?
Do we have to eat at a dive bar for it to not qualify as a date? We'll go to Elm Cafe down the block.
Bossy. I said under my breath. Because it was after regular building hours, we rode the service elevator down to the back entrance and exited the building on 73rd Street. Elm Cafe was only two blocks away. Of course, when we passed by Iron Horse Gym, Bryant happened to be walking toward the door at that very moment. Because that was just my luck. He looked at me, then at the man standing next to me, and stopped.
Reese, hey, are you coming to Iron Horse?
I wasn't sure if it was just me, or if everyone felt awkward. Perhaps it was guilt over running into my recent ex while standing next to my current... something. No, we were just heading down the street to grab a bite to eat. You remember Chase? Bryant extended his hand.
Cousin, right? Second cousin.
Chase shook.
By marriage. We're not blood related.
Of course, Bryant didn't understand the insinuation, but I did. Yes, I gave Chase the evil eye. Second cousin, Chase. Bryant looked like he was going to say something, but changed his mind.
Well, I'm going to hit the gym. You guess I'll see you around?
Sure. Take care, Bryant. Surprising me, Chase didn't question the odd exchange or my status with Bryant as we continued on to the restaurant. In fact, he was relatively quiet while we walked the block and a half. Once we arrived at Elm Cafe, he asked for a table for two, then added,
Something quiet and romantic, if you have it.
The host sat us at a table off in the corner, and Chase pulled out my chair. Is this table romantic enough for you? I asked sarcastically. He sat.
I'll just have to tell you all the things I'd like to do to you to make up for the lack of romance in the setting.
I swallowed my sarcastic comeback, knowing better than to challenge him. If I was truly going to keep this a platonic relationship, it was best to limit the visuals. I was pretty good at imagining what I'd like him to do to me on my own. If I heard it from him, well, a girl only has so much willpower. Luckily, the waitress came over to take our drink order.
I'll have a Jack and Coke, and she'll have a peppermint schnapps martini.
I glared at him and spoke to the waitress. She'll just take water. Thank you. When the waitress walked away, Chase was grinning.
What? It worked at the office Christmas party. Can't blame me for trying.
I think rule number one is I'll be staying sober if we're alone.
Can't trust yourself, huh?
Totally. You're so full of yourself. After the waitress brought our drinks, Chase wasted no time telling me what had been on his mind the last few days.
So, sleeping with me is off the table, but what about sharing a meal occasionally?
You mean, like, dating?
No, you said dating was off the table, too.
So, what would be the difference between sharing a meal and dating, then?
You wouldn't come home with me after the meal.
I laughed. You say that as if all of your dates end up going home with you. He gave me a look that didn't need to be accompanied by words. Of course they all do. What am I thinking? God, you're an ass. I rolled my eyes.
Is that a yes to twice weekly meals together?
Do you have meals with all of your employees?
Does that matter?
It does, yes.
Well, I have dinner with Sam occasionally.
I leaned back in my chair and folded my arms over my chest. But not twice weekly.
No, not that often.
Well, then I'm not sure it would be appropriate. We should probably stick to no more than what you do with other employees. Chase squinted, then gave me a sly grin and held up one finger. He proceeded to whip out his phone and make a call. I listened to half the conversation.
Sam, can you have dinner with me twice a week? Does it matter what it's for? Okay, then. I want to run things by you for the new rebranding campaign. I like your perspective.
He sighed.
Yes, fine, but we'll order in on the night we eat at your place. I almost choked on that dry-as-shit chicken you forced me to eat last time.
I couldn't make out everything, but I heard Sam's voice rise and a string of words yelled through the phone. When she took a breath, Chase forced the end of the conversation.
Whatever you want. Night, Sam.
He looked delighted with himself when he hung up.
Yes, I do have twice-weekly dinners with other employees.
I was in the mood to screw with him some more. That's different. Sam is your friend outside of the office. You two have been friends longer than she's worked for you.
And we've known each other since you bled all over me in middle school.
I think you're a little insane.
I'm starting to agree with you.
He sipped his Jack and Coke. Chase's cell phone buzzed, and a photo of a woman flashed on the screen. I saw it, and Chase knew I did. You can take it, I told him. I don't mind. He hit reject, and then locked eyes with me.
That brings me to my next negotiation point.
There's more? Maybe I should be having something stronger than water after all. Chase extended his Jack and Coke to me. I took it and sipped.
I take it from the exchange you just had with Becker that you're no longer a couple.
We weren't really ever a couple. But yes, you're correct. Bryant and I aren't dating anymore.
He looked wounded. Did you tell him you were hot for your cousin-slash-boss when you broke his heart?
Is there a point you're trying to make buried under all the self-adulation?
There is. One of the things I had planned to negotiate in our deal was that you would break it off with Bryant.
He'd taken the Jack and Coke back from me, and I swiped it from his hands again. Bringing it to my lips, I said, "And he finally gets the name correct." Chase, of course, ignored me.
"So we have an understanding, then. Until you quit, or get fired, or sooner if you break, you won't be dating other men."
"And I won't be dating you, so basically I'll be dateless and abstinent?"
"I'm sure you have a vibrator. If not, I'll pick one up for you."
"You'll go to the store and buy me a vibrator?" I asked incredulously. Chase abruptly grabbed our shared Jack and Coke from my hand and gulped down the remainder. His voice was a groan.
"I'm jealous of a goddamn vibrator now."
The strain in his voice made me feel empowered. It also gave me confidence to share things I might not normally have shared. "Nothing to be jealous about," I leaned in. "My vibrator and I have already enjoyed a vivid three-way with you." The look on Chase's face was priceless. I'd made his jaw go slack. The waitress was a few tables over, and he raised his hand to get her attention. When she arrived at our table, he said,
"Can we get a double Jack and Coke and two peppermint schnapps martinis, please?"
We spent the next 2 hours laughing and sharing drinks. In between, we set some ground rules. We'd have a meal together, twice a week, outside of the office, but not in an overtly romantic place. Thanks to me, he'd also be sharing frequent meals with Sam in the upcoming months. Neither of us would be dating anyone else, and there would be no kissing or fooling around of any kind. If and when my tenure at Parker Industries ended, we'd give a real date a try and see where things led. In the office, we'd never refer to any private time we spent together outside of the office, and he would show me zero favoritism. That last part I was passionate about. The entire reason for denying my attraction to Chase was to keep things professional in the office. There was no way I wanted anyone to even think there was something going on between us. With the basics established, it had only taken me 2 hours to break my self-imposed inebriation ban. I was not off to a good start, yet I was feeling good and tipsy by the time we got up to leave. "So, how do we do this?" I asked. "How do we end our evenings together?"
"Fuck if I know. We've already established the way my evenings generally conclude."
Chase steered me out of the restaurant with his hand on my lower back. As we walked onto the street, his hand dipped lower.
"Your hand is on my ass." His eyes gleamed. "Is it? It must have a mind of its own."
He didn't move it, though, even when he hailed a cab. When one pulled to the curb, he informed me we would be sharing it.
"We'll drop you first, so I can make sure you get in safely."
"I'm perfectly capable of getting home myself."
"I've bent on everything you asked, but taking you home at night isn't negotiable."
I really loved his chivalry. It was myself I didn't trust. Chase held the cab door open and waited. Before slipping inside, I turned to face him and stepped into his personal space. "Okay, I'll give you that. But you need to promise me something in return."
"And that is?"
"That even if I beg, you won't come inside." Chapter 16. Reese. Friday afternoon, a few of us from the marketing department had ordered in lunch and were sitting around the break room eating while we talked about our plans for the weekend. "Do you think we'll work again this weekend?" I asked Lindsay.
"I don't think so. Josh is going away on that pre-Canna retreat this weekend his fiancé is making him do. And I think Bossman has a hot date Saturday night."
"Hot date?"
"City Harvest Gala. A bunch of rich people throw a big party to raise millions for food for the homeless. It's at some swanky hotel this year, and Chase is being honored. I heard him tell his secretary to book a suite with a fancy name. The last 2 years, he's gone with models from our ad campaigns. Life must be rough when you're rich and gorgeous. Of course, Chase walked in right at that moment. I looked away, but felt his eyes on me as he went to the coffee machine. He'd spent so much time and effort getting me to agree to not date other people, I couldn't imagine he would already be violating his own terms. But I also couldn't stop a pang of jealousy from creeping up inside of me. "Hey, boss," Lindsay called. "We're not working this weekend, are we?"
"No, not this weekend. I have some things I need to take care of."
"I was sort of hoping we would be. It's supposed to be nice, and Eddie wants to head down to the Jersey Shore to visit his mother."
"And that's not a good thing, I take it?"
"She runs around doting on him like he's royalty. Always makes me feel inadequate." Chase smirked.
"You could always do some doting of your own to get rid of that feeling."
"Are you crazy? It took me 15 years to get the man to lower his expectations. Why would I screw that up now?"
Chase smirked. "What about you, Reese? Plans this weekend?"
Jules had been bugging me to go to some new club for the last month. I had no desire to go. Until that moment. "Girls' night on Saturday. My friend Jules and I are going to check out Harper's downtown." I caught the slight flex of his jaw, but he answered unaffected.
"Sounds like fun."
"And what about you? Hot date?" It wasn't exactly an appropriate question to ask your new boss, but Chase was not a traditional boss anyway. He was connected to his employees and knew what was going on in their lives, so my nosy question didn't raise any suspicion.
"Just a fundraiser we donate to. I'd prefer to just write the check, but somehow they talk me into showing up every year."
I smiled. It was completely fake, but no one really knew me well enough to notice. Except Chase. "Well, enjoy your date." I forked a piece of chicken from my Caesar salad and shoved it into my mouth. I avoided Chase for the afternoon after that. At one point, he came down the hall toward my office, and I quickly popped into Josh's so we wouldn't be alone. Part of me knew I was being silly. Surely, tomorrow night wasn't a real date, and I was building something in my head that didn't exist. This was exactly the reason I avoided office romance. Work needed to be about work, instead of letting my personal life interfere in places it didn't belong. So, when Chase showed up at my office door at 6 o'clock... I was determined to keep things strictly professional.
"Share a meal together Sunday night."
"I don't think so. I'm going out clubbing Saturday, and you..." I waved my hand as if saying, "Whatever." "Have your date Saturday night. I'm sure we'll both need Sunday to recover." He looked confused by my response.
"Is everything okay, Reese?"
"It's fine. Why wouldn't it be?"
"I don't know. You seem like something's bothering you."
"Nope," I answered, fast and curt. Maybe too curt. Chase studied me with his lips pressed together. He was looking for clues, but I wasn't giving any.
"I feel like it's about Saturday night. But I figured you'd never go for a night when you had to wear a gown as our non-date casual sharing of a meal."
I cocked my head. "I'm sure you'll have a better time with a real date anyway." His brows gathered again, and then his face transformed with a smug smile.
"I wouldn't exactly call Sam a real date."
"Sam?"
"That's who I'm taking. Who did you think I was going with?"
He moved closer. "I don't know."
"Did you think I was taking a date? After what we discussed the other night at dinner?"
"Someone might have mentioned that you usually took a model and were staying overnight at the hotel this weekend."
"I'm taking Sam. to network. I booked a suite for her and her husband to stay afterward. It was part of the deal I made with her.
Oh. He edged closer again.
You were jealous.
I was not.
Bullshit.
Whatever, it doesn't matter.
It does to me.
Why?
Because if you're jealous, that means you want to be with me as much as I want to be with you. You like to leave me out there dangling, not knowing what you're thinking.
He closed in on me as I sat in my chair. Placing one hand on each armrest, he lowered his face to mine.
I'm glad it's mutual.
I rolled my eyes. Whatever.
Sunday night. Share a meal with me.
Lunch.
Dinner.
Lunch, it's more casual. He held my stare, trying to pull off serious, but I saw the corner of his mouth hint at a smile.
Fine. But I'm taking you someplace romantic for lunch.
I was never into clubbing to begin with, but I really put in the extra effort Saturday night. Jules and I didn't get to spend much time together, and I missed her and thought if there was ever a time I needed to cut loose, this was it. Between my change of jobs and ever-growing addiction to thinking about Chase Parker, I needed to feel young and free again. We bounced around early in the night, dancing at places before they became so packed that it was impossible to do anything but rub up against sweaty people on the dance floor. By the time we arrived at Harper's, I was beginning to regret wearing 5-inch heels. When I saw the line to get in, the one that extended almost a full city block, I decided the little half-empty Irish pub we'd just passed wasn't looking half bad. Look at that line, I groaned. Jules grinned and grabbed my hand, pulling me toward the door. What line? A Herculean bouncer wrapped one arm around Jules and lifted her off the ground.
You showed up!
How could I resist free drinks and no line?
And here I thought you came for me.
Maybe a little of that, too. She bumped her tiny shoulder into his chest. What time do you get off? He looked at his phone.
About an hour.
Jules remembered me standing next to her. This is Reese. Reese, this is my little brother's best friend, Christian.
Nice to meet you, Reese.
He nodded to me and turned his attention right back to Jules.
How about you drop the introduction as your little brother's best friend now?
But you are.
Been trying to get you to see me as something different the last month.
He leaned down.
In case you hadn't noticed.
Jules waved him off, but I could tell there was a reason we were at Harper's tonight, and it didn't have anything to do with being able to skip the line. Any chance you can get us a table? Reese needs to rest her dogs, or we won't make it an hour.
You going to have a drink with me when I get off?
If you're buying. He chuckled and shook his head. Lifting a walkie-talkie, he called to someone inside and said he had VIPs who needed taken care of. A minute later, a woman who had to be 6 feet tall without her gargantuan heels came to greet us.
Jesus,
Jules mumbled. Christian smiled.
Kiki, this is Jules and Reese. Could you find them some seating on the second floor and hook them up with some drinks for me?
Sure thing, sweetie. The statuesque hostess led us to the second floor and opened a roped-off reserved table that overlooked a packed dance floor below. What can I have sent over for you ladies? We ordered extra dirty martinis and looked around in awe. The club was massive, and everything from the velvet seats to the shiny black granite bars was top of the line. I feel like a celebrity, I said. And you're fooling around with your brother's best friend? How does Kenny feel about that? I'm not fooling around with Christian. Yet. And Kenny doesn't know.
How will that go over?
We're all adults. He can't tell me who I should go out with. I smirked. So he's gonna have a shit fit, huh? A grin spread across her face. Pretty much. Give me the backstory.